I have a testimony. I was on my way to Eucharist. That was Monday. And I went, I was totally ready, got ready to walk out of the door. When I walked out of the door, the screen, the catch on the screen door, it went back. When it did, I did this and spin around and passed over the cement thing and hit the ground. And when I hit the ground, my head sank. My head bounced. And you know, guess what? And then my grandson said, he was in the house, so he said, something spoke to him. That's what he said. He said, I got up to go to, when I went to the door, he thought that the door, my son-in-law had come in. But I was sitting on the ground. But when my head, hallelujah, when my head hit the ground, it bounced like that. And you know, for a minute, I kind of laid there. And then then my head, I opened my head was going around like that. But then I got on the phone and tried to call Stacy. I mean, I was going to text her. But by that time, my grandson walked to the door. When he walked to the door, I was sitting there. He got me by my hand and said, in other words, hallelujah, glory to God. When I went, my daughter carried me to the emergency room, and when they did a CAT scan on me, found nothing. My outside of my head wasn't, and I never had a headache, just nothing. And gave me a clean bill of health. I went home. Only he said, well, tomorrow you'll probably be sore. This problem happened. Guess what? I was not sore. I was royally sore, meaning it wasn't hurt. Just a little bit hurt. But anyway, so I knew then, when I come home. So, it was a turnaround for me. It was a turnaround. Because when it did, it opened my eyes. I want my eyes to be open. I don't want to be sitting here in the midst of it with him. The Holy Spirit saints are here. He's here. I don't want to just sit here and not recognize it, not being able to see, not be able to. But then that took me to a place where I entered in, gave me time to spend some time with God. Hallelujah. But I'm here and ready to dance. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
I'm not sure if this is for somebody in particular or if it's for everybody, but I was sitting here this morning.
And put it in your face, like a trumpet.
And I felt like the Lord was saying that he's with us in every situation. You may not be able to see him in whatever situation you're going through. You know how they say sometimes you can't see the forest for the trees. Mm-hmm. He's there. Even if you can't see him, even if you can't feel him, he's there and he's working. And whatever your situation is,
yes,
he's there and he's present and he's working even if you can't see him.
Yes, he is. Amen. Also with you.
That was incredible. That was incredible. Thank you, Jesus. God, you're so good to us. Well, praise him. Right before a good workout, we have to do what's called a warm-up. Amen? So, I hope that what is said today is what is supposed to be said. Amen? My prayer today is that what has already been said over and over again this morning is exactly what the Holy Spirit would have us say this morning. Let's do a debrief from, if y'all remember last time, I was privileged to stand back here and speak to you guys corporately. I introduced you to Kal-El. Kal-El was from another planet, remember? He's not from here, remember? You're not from here, remember? Come on, man, I got to get a response. I'm one of these, you know, I'm one of these noisemakers. Y'all, come on, y'all talk to me.
I remember.
Yes. Yes. I'm going to remind you via Scripture. I'm going to be going over a lot of Scriptures today. So y'all please bear with me because the Word of the Lord is powerful. We're going to start. Again, this is a warm-up exercise here from Genesis 35:2. Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, put away the foreign gods that are among you and purify yourselves and change your what?
Garments.
Where's my young people? See, I'm missing my young people. They got it. After all that time I said it, they finally got it. Garments. I had them saying it in unison. Is that how you say it? Okay. Jeremiah chapter 52, verse 33. Instead of flipping through pages, I scroll through the telephone now. How cool is that? So Jehoiakim put off his prison garments. He put off his prison garments. I like that one. And every day of his life, he dined regularly at the king's table. Powerful scripture. Zephaniah chapter 3. Verses 1 through 5 says, woe to her who is rebellious and defiled the oppressed city. She listens to no voice. She accepts no correction. She does not trust in the Lord. Yeah, why am I reading this? That doesn't even make sense. Golly, I can't even read my own PowerPoint. That's all right, isn't it? Three, let's try that again, church, starting in verse 1. Then he showed me Joshua the high priest, that makes more sense, standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan, the Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this a brand plucked from the fire? Verse 3, now Joshua was standing before the angel clothed with filthy garments. Okay, and the angel said to those who were standing before him, remove the filthy garments from him. And to him he said, behold, I have taken away your iniquity away from you, and I will clothe you with pure garments. Woo! Warm up, baby. That warm up's feeling good. Got the blood pressure going, right? Right? Oh my gosh. Come on, guys. Remember that? Remember that? Now, look, let me go back to this. Remember, this is what was Superman's alias name? Clark Kent. Notice the garments that Clark Kent has. Those guys' backpack ready. Remember that sermon about the backpack? Need to drop that weight? Ooh, that's powerful. Have a little picture there. This is the time when Clark Kent doesn't really fully understand who he is just yet, okay? But all of a sudden, this happens. His garments are changed, right? Now remember, he had that little conversation with Lois Lane last time. Remember, what did he say? What did he say? Anybody remember? Oh, there she is. It's not an S. On my world, it means what? Hope. Everybody say, hope. Man, you see, that's where we're going this morning. Hope. On my world, it means hope. I got another little ditty for you. Y'all pay close attention to what's being said in this video clip. It's important that you listen. Oh, no, let's go to the video. Well, you know what? Let's go here, too. I got to do this. I forgot about this one. I'm not doing so good, am I? Ruth. Getting ahead of myself. Ruth. Where are you, Ruth? Man, she's hard to find with a cell phone, too. I can't even be scrambling through the pages. Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. Okay. If I should say I have hope, okay, even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they were grown? Y'all know the context. She's having to separate herself. Naomi is having to separate herself from Ruth, right? So she's lost hope because she lost her husbands and her sons. Remember? Another very familiar passage or another familiar person that went through a lot of smackites. He breaks me down on every side and I am gone. And my hope has he pulled me up like a tree. Ouch. Psalm 119 verse 116 says, uphold me according to your promise that I may live, and let me not be put to shame in my hope. Amen? Proverbs chapter 10, verse 28. I think this is where the transition takes place, guys. Check this out. You don't understand what I'm saying when I mean transition. The hope of the righteous brings joy, but the expectation of the wicked will perish. Joel chapter 3, verse 16. Yeah, here's the transition right here, y'all. Verse 16, Joel brings it like this. He says, the Lord roars from Zion, hallelujah, and utters his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth quake. That's a killer voice. Morgan Freeman ain't got nothing on that. But the Lord is a refuge. Refuge in the King James Version? Hope. Okay, the Lord is a hope to his people, a stronghold to his people Israel. Ephesians. Okay, here we're definitely getting into the workout now right here with Ephesians. Yeah, man, we're definitely getting the heart rate up right here, starting in verse 15, chapter 1. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. Oh, that's powerful. I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe? According to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church. And everybody said, yes, Lord, he gave it to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Lastly, for the warm-up, chapter 3, 1 John 3, verse 3, and everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. You'll hear me come back to those in just a few minutes in terms of other scriptures that will confirm those. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Just a little reminder that the word of the Lord is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen? All right, let's go.
Why am I so different from them?
Earth's sun is younger and brighter than Krypton's was. Your cells have drunk in its radiation, strengthening your muscles, your skin, your senses. Earth's gravity is weaker, yet its atmosphere is more nourishing. You've grown stronger here than I ever could have imagined. The only way to know how strong is to keep testing your limits.
Ignore that. I was supposed to black that out, but my little clicker switch here is not working. I would black that screen out. So just please just focus on me for just a moment. Thank you. Wasn't that cool? Okay, so why am I so different from them? Russell Crowe. Earth's atmosphere. I thought that was really cool. Church, we are in this world, but we are not of it. Amen? We are from another, I've said it already, we are from another world. We don't really know what that world is exactly and openly. Even the Apostle Paul said, we look through a glass dimly. Right? The only way to know how strong is to keep testing your limits. Wasn't that powerful? There is no resurrection without Christ. crucifixion. Amen? And those limits, even when we get to those places of... even when we get to those places of contentment, there is still some unction within us that must press on. Amen? We must test our limits. Have you ever been just fidgety is the only word I can think of. Maybe it's just me. Fidgety meaning like not enough. This, I don't understand it, Lord, but you know what? I think a lot of the church would say something along the lines of, I want more, Lord, of what you have for me. Amen? And the bishop will teach us that it's not that we need more, but we need to manifest what we already have. Amen? Amen? We need to manifest what's already in there. So there's that unction, there's that stirring that says, more, Lord, when in reality, our limits, our power, is being tested. An ideal to strive towards. They will race behind you, Russell Crowe said. Check this out. Today's New Testament lesson, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. The world is looking for something to sink their teeth into. They don't know what it is yet. The church knows what it is. It's hope. The conviction of things not seen. That is the ideal worth striving for. Something not seen, but yet conviction says it's going to happen. Amen? Amen. An ideal to strive for. They will race behind you when you walk in the room. They will stumble. They will fall. How about that crash? Wasn't that cool? He started getting into his power, and all of a sudden he went headlong into that mountain. I thought that was cool. Verse 3. Faith, we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. In other words, I got to see it to believe it. That's the philosophy of our culture. Unless you prove it to me, unless you can prove there is a God, I won't believe there is one. Well, Superman didn't have to prove anything, did he not? He had what he had because he inherited it. And it was his. Whether he liked it or not, it was his to serve others. We'll get to that in just a minute. They will stumble, they will fall. They will join you. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who diligently seek Him. You gotta want it, ladies and gentlemen of the church. You gotta want it. And when you want it, you diligently seek it. And when you diligently seek it, God gets excited. God gets excited. He gets all stirred up and He goes, whoa! He starts flying over mountains when His people diligently seek Him. They will join you in time. And I'm going to skip down all the way down to chapter 12, verse 1, just outside of the context of our New Testament lesson today. They will join you in time. You will help them accomplish wonders. Chapter 12, verse 1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Amen. We are surrounded. Every Sunday we come in here before angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. Our creed says we believe in the communion of saints. Let us lay aside every weight and sin which so clings so closely. And let us run with endurance. That's what he told his son right here. Run the race that is before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the trials, the testing, the cross, despising the shame, and is, there it is again, and is seated at the right hand of God. Now we go to this PowerPoint presentation. The last time I explained the word revolutionary or the word revolution, I'm missing my friend Jennifer Addington this morning. Bless her, Lord, and keep her. I remember it was she and I got into a conversation. She asked me a question about that definition of revolution. What did you mean, Robert, about revolution? I didn't quite get that. And what I said was, revolution is not really, it does mean a change per se. Okay, it's about changing things, but more importantly, it's not so much the reinvention of the wheel. A revolution is to go back to the fundamentals and the principles of the beginning. So when we talk about a new beginning, not only do I believe are we talking about something we totally don't know anything about, which is what heaven's going to be like, it's also not going to be built on some flighty new philosophy. It's going to be built on the foundation of Jesus Christ and what the church has believed for thousands of years. Amen? Our precious Father Mark Finley, man, he brings that thing, man, when it comes to the church and the history and the way things have been and how we need to preserve that and keep that and not be ashamed of any of that, because that is plan A. There is no other plan. God wants his church to be the army he has always called them out to be. A revolutionary person fearlessly, look at that, advocates. Okay, we all know what an advocate is. An advocate, in layman's terms, is a lawyer. Okay? That's another sermon all by itself. Advocates radical. See, there's that word radical again, the revolutionary. Radical meaning meaning foundational, unmovable. Radical doesn't mean way out there in some left field. It means solid. Revolutionary people and ideas challenge the status quo. See, there's the deal. We get in status quo, and so we think we're changing things. Yes and no. It may be violent. Violent. We're going to get to that in just a second. Willing to upset the natural order of things, or natural order to achieve their goals. Did you know, y'all have heard the bishop teach, this isn't the norm. This is abnormal. Like the word revolve, it's all about turning, oh, don't do me like that, turning things around. Come on, baby, don't go to sleep on me. There she is. All right. From the day of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God has suffered violence. And the violent take it by force. I looked up that word violence. Let me touch on that for just a second. Again, it sounds like I'm going all over the place, but I'll bring it in later. Violence means to crowd oneself. You ever gotten, man, you're too close, man. You need to be getting up out of my space, man. You know what I'm saying? Y'all know how that feels like when somebody sits too close to you or something, you get that little vibe, you don't like it. You're actually committing a violent act. Okay. Violence. Too crowded, man. I need a little bit of space, man. It's like, whoa, wait a minute. Okay. Violent. Here we go. I got into the study of it. Vital. Everyone say vital. Concerned with, I found this profound, or manifesting life. See, it's not about, violence isn't about death. Violence is about removing that bad stuff to life. You got to have what's on the other end of that thing. If you can't see past your nose, then we're going to have some problems. You got to be able to foresee where you're going. And the violent, take it by force. That's where we're going. Activity, a forcer.
Energetic. That's what I meant by when we approach God, He gets energetic. When His people diligently seek Him, God gives, goes, yeah, man, I'm fired up. I'm ready to change things now because my people have called my name. All right, let me go on. Romans chapter 8. Yep, I told y'all I had a lot of scripture today. Yep, listen to this, guys. This rocks. Here we go. Here we go. Biceps, man. Pectoral majors. Lat pulls. Man. Romans. Golly, Robert, you can't even find Romans. Romans 8. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you know that's just the bomb. Anytime you hear the Romans chapter 8, you know you're in for it. Starting in verse 19. Oh, yes, Lord. I skipped right past the gospel passage. You know, Jesus was talking about something this morning that I totally bypassed. Let me go ahead and stay here. But I promise you, this sermon is in the context of today's gospel lesson. Romans chapter 8, verse 19 says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing." Not even worth comparing. You know what? I get so preoccupied with suffering, and this scripture said it's not even to be compared to the with the glory that is to be. That is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. There it is again. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage. Amen? I got a couple of notes there from some books that I read that I thought were nice and supplemental. What does it mean that creation waits for God's children to be revealed? We will glorify Him. Let me see if this thing works. Yeah, look. We will glorify Him by ruling over the physical universe with creativity and camaraderie, showing respect. Oh, that's something that the world loves to throw around like a dish rag. And benevolence for all we, what? Rule. Some people are not comfortable with that concept. We, I guess because it's been so watered down, but we are destined to co-rule with our King. Okay? Let me say that again. We are destined to co-rule here. There's a new heaven and a new earth that is going to manifest itself, and we are the major players in the game. And Father Mark, I get to play. Isn't that what you said, Father? I get to play. I'm going to play. Would you like to play with me? Let's play, because we're going to rule with Jesus with respect and benevolence and camaraderie. This power, authoritarianistic thing that we've been passing around for hundreds of years in this culture, thinking we're getting somewhere. What is that? What has that gotten us? Anyway, I'm getting all preachy now. Let me stick to the scriptures. Romans 8 contains a powerful theology of suffering. Yeah, let's shift gears for a second. There is the groaning of those dying without hope. Remember Ruth. Naomi, even Job earlier this morning. In contrast, the groaning of those in childbirth. See, this is where that's where I want to go today. I want to go there. The one is the pain of hopeless dread. Anyone ever experienced dread? Like men experience every single Monday morning. Statistics have proven that over 70-something, exact number, well over 70% of men who died from cardiac arrest was on Monday morning. Not going there today, but that is extremely significant. Hopeless dread. The other, the pain of hopeful anticipation. That sounds like our King. Amen? All right, let's go. Let's skip on to the next one. Now, I have another quote that our bishop taught us in a prayer conference one day in Selma. He was talking about the apostles in the book of Acts. He said they didn't ask for more power. That power that Superman was testing, he didn't need more power, did he? He had all the power. He just had to test it, amen? He just had to keep doing it over and over and over and over again. The bishop said they didn't ask for more power. They asked for boldness. They asked for boldness. So, all right, so this boldness, what is stopping us from where we are in terms of all this power that we've inherited to the point of, what did I just say? From the point of going from the power to the boldness and the manifestation of it. So what is hindering us? What, we're going back to Superman's story. What was the one thing that took Superman out? It was one thing. Kryptonite. Oh, I got it. Ooh, all right. Kryptonite. It was the only thing that would weaken or take Superman out. Now, John Bevere writes a book. It was entitled Killing Kryptonite. And I borrowed that book from Father Mark and read through it. And I'm gonna spoil it for you. In a nutshell, Brother Bevere talks about how he believed that the kryptonite was idolatry. And he expanded upon that idolatry. And of course, idolatry can be many, many, many things. Okay? So if I just say, I did a little homework of my own, especially with my little superhero analogy, and I wanted to give a crack at it. Okay? I wanted to give a crack at it. I want to say, what is it? What is it, Lord, that I believe, it's on my heart, that I think might be causing Superman to not act out of his superpowers? And I said, you know what, Lord? And you know, let me tell you, I was going to say this earlier this morning. What I'm saying right now, I don't know if it's really, on the one side, I don't know if it was, that's why I said earlier, I hope what I'm saying today is what is supposed to be said. I know this in particularly is personal. I am weakest when unbelief is at its strongest. When unbelief comes rearing its ugly head in my heart, that's when I find myself, how the bishop taught again, dancing with other lovers. Our tendency is to go looking for things that we can grasp a hold of, as if there's something missing that we don't have. Church, y'all know the answer. Like, we have it. We already have it. But kryptonite has been slipped in there somewhere. You know, a lot of times, I don't know if y'all do superheroes or not, but Superman really doesn't go running towards kryptonite. Okay? Kryptonite sneaks up on him, okay? He doesn't see it coming. As a matter of fact, the first time he was introduced to it, he didn't know what was happening. He's like, he's going down on the ground going, what's happening? And all of a sudden, like, ooh, wait a minute, this is a piece of rock from his planet. Blah, blah, blah. The point being, he didn't even see it coming. Okay? So let's go back to the scriptures. Jesus said to the disciples, now remember, the disciples, I think in this particular context, let me see, let me make sure before I say something I'm not supposed to.
Verse 20. Y'all still with me? He said to them, because of your little faith. Now, let me see the context here. The context is heals a boy with a demon, okay? Just came down from the transfiguration. That's what I thought. Jesus, Peter, James, and John just came down from the transfiguration, right? And all of a sudden, they come down there, and the homies are down there, and they're like, look, your boys here, they can't handle the situation, okay? What's up with that? Jesus said, and the King James Version, I pulled up the King James Version. Matthew chapter 17, verse 20 said, because of your little faith. King James says, because of your unbelief. I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. Now, I want to say something here. This is kind of my own opinion, but I'm going to put it out here. I think we have a prosperity gospel out there that likes to say things like, you don't have enough faith. You need to increase your faith. Let me stab at that one for just a minute. Just like, again, what the bishop teaches us, you are in Christ. We have inherited all the promises of God. They are yes and amen, okay? That includes faith, okay? You've got all of the faith that God has in the world. In fact, Jesus said, if you just had the amount of the mustard seed, he's not saying you got to have giant faith. What he's saying is, if you just believe, just believe. The problem is not that we don't believe. The problem is we need to deal with the unbelief. That's coming later. Now stay with me. He said it in because of your little faith. I show here the ASV and the NIV. Because, look at the message. Because you're not taking God seriously. Is that cool or what? Because you're not taking God seriously. See, that means you already know who God is. You know God can move mountains. You know God can send lightning down from heaven. You know that he can split red seas in any sea he wants to. You know at the snap of a finger, he can change everything in a breath. But he has a plan. You that walks into the room, you are not taking God serious enough. That's what he told the fellows at the bottom of the mountain coming out of the Oh, how long must I be with you, oh faithless generation? If you would just get rid of that little unbelief you have and tap into a mustard seed into God the Father, you'd be doing everything I'm doing plus. That's what Jesus came to say. If you're looking for an excuse, you'll always find one. There's so many excuses out there. I'm a father of six gorgeous children. And man, they remind me so much of me when I was young and I was making all those excuses. Ooh, man, I forgot how many excuses I used to make. Still do, but used to. The same is true of opportunity, like this, opportunity. Alright? God ordained opportunities for all around you all the time. Again, the bishop is now teaching our young people. Step out in faith and look at people and prophesy. If you think you've got a word for somebody, you need to get out there in the field and get acclimated to hanging with people and put in. And you know what I'm saying? Many of them come disguised as problems. Now listen, that's a twofold interpretation in my book. One, your own problems. We all have our personal problems. And we have to take him before the throne. We have to deal with that unbelief. And we have to come unto the throne of the Father and diligently seek him. But you know what? If you walk into Walmart or if you walk into a treatment center, that's my world, you walk into school, we have the young people in this field, you walk into this classroom, there are problems everywhere. Problems. Isn't that right? If your discernment is like that of the Lord, you're gonna sense that. You're gonna sense that, and you're gonna sense that to the point, maybe, just maybe, it may break you. It may prick you. So you may not feel too good. That doesn't mean you deal with you do away with the problem. It means we have to be sensitive to what the Lord is doing in that moment. We have to discern what the problem is.
and move. All right, Father Don, I'll bring you out to the front this time. Let's check this out, guys. The four living creatures, we're going to move on. So what? How do we get from, I'm going to go back, how do we get from the promise that Walmart and that school class, school and all those situations that we find ourselves in, and we start making excuses as to why what we're really hearing is just, well, I don't know if that's the Spirit of the Lord or not. I haven't had a training. I'm not, my big excuse is I'm not qualified. Man, how many times have we been told that's a bill of goods, man. And you know what? The same thing as a bad stupid thing. I'm like, and then you leave the situation, and you're like, man, what if? Then here comes all the what ifs. What if I just, what would have happened? God, gets on my nerves. And so for the next 2 days, Mama Rose, I'm wondering what could have, should have, could have. Jesus, I think that hurts worse than just going, dude, in Kentucky Fried Chicken. Hey, dude, you know what? I think I have something. God looks at you, he says, he's bug-eyed, looking at you like, who in the world are you, and where did you come from, and what do you, they freak out, and you know what I've noticed? Now, God, I've kind of lost it. You know what I've noticed? Not freaking out because the word of the Lord is about to come, Lord, but freaking out. I don't know, God. You walked into the room. And he speaks, and they go, the scripture says he was astonished. Nobody, did you hear that now? Did you hear what he said? What he said, he didn't touch me. I didn't even have to get close to him. He just spoke, and boom, the whole room changed. And he wasn't looking to be a rock star. He just said what God told him to say. He didn't hear me. And I know y'all have had these experiences. Things happened that he wasn't even aware. God the Father was away. Boom, it went all over the place. There's been phone calls and emails and people calling me. Hey, Robert, I don't know if you know or not, but the other day when, fill in the blank. When you did this, I'm like, praise God. You can praise him more. And God, where is he? God was at work. God was working, the song said. God is at work. We want. Okay, so how do we get there? How do we get from there to where we want to go? Okay, Father Don preached the other day. Powerful, powerful word. He reminded me of another sermon from the bishop. The four living creatures. Are we ready? Each of them with six wings. Bishop said two of them were up, two of them were covering their eyes, and he said, they would remove their wings and go, and they'd see a sight of God they'd never seen before. And they would glorify God. And they would close their eyes again. And they'd open up and see something brand new about God. And they'd continue to do that day and night forever and ever and ever. That's who God is. Full of eyes all around and within. Day and night, they never cease to say, holy. Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. There it is. Here we go. Praise. You want to know how to get from where we are to where we want to go? Praise Him. Praise is the most useful occupation and activity in, check this out, enabling God. So you won't tell God what to do? No. He's looking for someone to praise him. He's just looking for an excuse to show out and to be on fire for this world. He's not just looking for certain ones. God loves the world. He wants to manifest himself all over the place. Scripture says, the glory of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Not Fairfield, not Birmingham, not the United States of America, the earth, enable God to realize the supreme goal of the universe. That is, this is all Bill had a great book. Destiny is gone. Not that big. Can't put it down. Bringing many sons to divorce. You want to get rid of that kryptonite? Crazy. That's number one. Power point. Next power point. Almost there, guys. Prayer. Confess your faults to one another and pray for one another. When you pray for somebody else, what's that called? When you pray for someone else, the word advocate was used earlier, remember? Advocate is a lawyer. A lawyer is someone who stands between the guilty and the judge, pleading the case. We know that Jesus ever intercedes for us. We, as the people of God, imagine if the world could look upon the church and see a lawyer standing before the courtroom going, this person needs to be set free from their captivity and be sanctified and set free and change their garments and see in heavenly places with Christ like me. And those around me, those communion of saints, that invisible world that nobody can see that's more real than this one. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. That word avails. I couldn't help myself. Another word for that is... Thank you. hit the one in the middle. Where is he? Positionally speaking. Look at that picture real kind of up now. There's the United States Army behind him. There's an enemy in front of him. He is the advocate, yes? He is the advocate of what all the powers on earth have labeled to them. And the enemy. I want y'all to see that. I thought that was good. He's standing out in front. That comes later. I'm small son. This is it. Wrap it up. Jesus said again. Another situation. A prayer. Chapter 9, verse 27. I couldn't resist. Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up to his robe. Prayer is not a religious exercise. Prayer is a work and a labor and a toil that the Holy Spirit functions us to do in order for God to accomplish what He desires, energetically inspired to accomplish in the pure now. Let me go down to the Greek for just a minute. I'm not going to say the Greek words, but I did find that. Supplicate. That word supplicate comes from the word worship. Again, I'm not going to go into Greek. I'm just going to tell you what my homework sounds like. Okay, and those two words came from another two Greek words that interpreted forward and useful. Everyone say forward. There we go. Forward and useful. He's in the front. Forward and useful. A strengthened form of in front of. Now, think that word prayer that Jesus just told his disciples. This does not come out except a strengthened form of, quote, in front of, end of quote. The church has to be in an offensive position in order for the world to believe it. Got it? That's the way they're going to think. But there are those out there that the Lord has called us to manifest the presence of God, to invade your response in accordance to our claim in our. I came up with something. And it was with a kind of a confirmation.
watching. You never know the hour of which the Son of Man comes. Jesus will say, watch. That is in context to intercession and prayer and praise. He lived a lifestyle of praise and prayer and fasting and watchfulness. We must join our works with our faith, go into the world, and wake it up to the truth of the gospel. And I love this little thing I found here. The hope symbol of Superman on the fire. Listen to this. As one's heart is revived and the fire spreads to others, it spreads. You can't control fire when it's let loose, especially if God left it loose. We have the beginnings. Beginnings. The reset button has been hit. We have the beginnings. And it's just the beginnings, not the whole kit, but just the beginning of a spiritual awakening in which the church in a given generation, that's us, it's our turn. What is our generation going to lose? Given generation awakens. Greatest part of manifesting the awakening.